Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. Well, I'm wrapping up day two from the owners' meetings. Today, we had a chance to talk to Dan Quinn, and then we also had a chance to talk to owner Josh Harris. I got to be honest, folks, it's very weird to be here and talking to the actual owner of the team. It has not happened to me before coming to the owners' meeting. So it was a new experience to get to. We spent about 11, 12 minutes with Josh Harris. And then also going to the Roger Goodell press conference, and JP Finley and I were kind of joking, like, you know, it kind of hustled to get into that press conference. Like last year, like went to a few of these meetings and you're like, you have to scramble in there, get there, because here comes Goodell and they're going to talk about the ownership. And he realized like, oh, don't have to worry about that this year. So it was kind of nice not to have to ask any questions about investigations, congressional, by the league. And it was nice not to have to hear about an update on the sale. Is it done yet? Is it not? Where is it at? What are your thoughts on Dan Snyder? All that is over. And today kind of highlighted that. And just the change in the organization has been felt over the last couple of days, talking to Adam Peters, talking to Dan Quinn, talking to Josh Harris, the energy that comes from them in when they're discussing what they've accomplished so far. And really what they've accomplished so far is just a step-by-step process, right? They built their staff. They're in the process of still developing their, you know, what they exactly, who they're going to be on offense and defense, et cetera. And then also the free agent signings and now the preparations for the draft. So, you know, on the field, they've accomplished nothing. They know that. But I do think there's a different energy that flows from them. And I think you can feel it when you are around them. And it is definitely the most professional operation they've had probably since 1999. And you can guess why. But there's just such a big time change of pace. And I think the league is enjoying, I think as someone told me yesterday, there's a big honeymoon for the league with Josh Harris because of the guy he replaced. And so anyway, that's part of what you just felt here. And it was just different. And with Dan Quinn, there is a different level of energy that comes from it. I think the dude is really jacked up to be a head coach again, but I just think it's his personality. I think a lot of that, there's a lot of energy. And it's funny because we had the owner's breakfast, the coach's breakfast on Tuesday morning. And, you know, I joked to somebody like, I've got to get there early. And it's supposed to start at 7:45. I've got to get there early because I've got a coach who is going to be early. This is the guy that he gets up early. He's got energy and all that. Sure enough, he showed up 8 minutes early, and he also had to stop a little bit early, but he showed up 8 minutes early. So you have to be early with Dan Quinn. But I think, like I said, not every coach arrives with energy. There are some coaches who are coming here and you can tell that they had a little bit of fun the night before. With Dan Quinn, dude just comes and brings it, just not the heat, but the energy. And I think that's an important trait. And it's, energy alone is not going to turn a franchise around. It's got to be the coordination between Peters and Quinn, Harris, Peters and Quinn. That's what matters most. But when you do have guys with energy, though, it does lead to just, I think, a better vibe overall. And I think people there can absolutely feel it. And again, when you're around these people, you can absolutely feel. Now, you know, Peters, it's funny because this is the first time he's had to do this stuff. And I think it's, you don't really know what you're getting into with these interviews and all that. And when you're at the combine, these big podium interviews, well, here for him, it's in a little room and it's just local reporters. It's a much more relaxed setting. And I think you start to see guys getting more and more relaxed in their roles And I think that, you know, so what that means, I don't know. Because what, you know, what matters, who they draft at number two and the quarterback he gets. But as they've all pointed out, because that's, and I'm going to get into a minute about what we heard, what Dan Quinn talked about today, what Josh Harris talked about today. But one thing that was clear when you'd ask him about the number two pick, whether it was Quinn or even Josh Harris, they would bring up the fact that they have a lot of picks in their top 100. And I don't think they're going to define their draft just by one guy, because if you, let's say in a in the worst case scenario for them, they admit that the quarterback doesn't hit, but these other picks in the top 100 do, well, then, you know, that clearly you want to hit that quarterback, because that's going to end a long time quest. But I think what their point is that they have other guys who can make contributions too, and can make and some immediate contributions as well. Now, of course, as even Josh Harris said, that with the quarterback, you know that they can have a big impact. So nobody's going to shortchange that aspect of it. But I think they don't all, they also don't want just all the focus on one pick, because they do have a lot, and they do have a lot of high picks that can help turn this franchise around. Anyways, so let's get to some highlights from Dan Quinn. And one of the things I would say from, you know, part of what I hear is like, what are you hearing from other people in the league? And I'm going to get into more of that when I, for some ESPN articles and also on here talking about what others are saying. But I will say, like, Jaden Daniels is a popular guy. And, you know, I'll say that, like, there are a lot of people who like what he can do. Now, not that they don't have questions, because there are, every quarterback has them, but I will say Jaden Daniels is a popular guy. And what that means for Washington, who knows? Because as I said yesterday, as I said a few times, when you hear people talking about they think Washington's going to do this, nobody knows. Because again, as even Dan Quinn said, he is just now starting to get really into the meat of the draft prep work, because since he's been here, he's had to hire a staff. You're developing offenses and defenses. You're having all these meetings for the coaching staff to get to go over all the stuff. Then you're going over your roster evaluation of your own roster, then of outside people, free agents, bringing in free agents, et cetera. So the time for him to be able to devote to the draft really starts now. And you know, that includes going to the pro days. And by the way, they are going to the LSU pro day. They left, this is Tuesday. So on Wednesday is the LSU pro day. On Thursday is the North Carolina pro day. Nice that they're back to back. Good way to kind of, you know, it's not so much comparing like what they do at their pro days, because again, throwing on air, highly, highly irrelevant. And these guys will be the first to tell you. So don't get, when you hear like, oh my God, he's perfect on air. It's on air. These guys know that. That's not what they're looking for. I would say if a guy has a really bad day throwing, that's a bad sign. A good day throwing, it's on air. And so, you know, like you're watching guys in practice. There were times last in 2022 near the end of the year where like quarterbacks were really, really off. And that's a bad sign. Now, if they're on fire, like you might notice, like, oh, he's hitting everything in stride or whatever, but still on air. So what they're looking for at those pro days, this is one thing that Dan Quinn was talking about too, is you're looking for leadership traits. How do they interact with teammates? How do they interact with others? How do they go about the drills? You know, it's what are you watching in between the drills to see from them to gather more information? It is not, the throws are secondary to them. You know, then you're also, you get a chance to talk with them and you get a chance to have them explain what they like to do, or next to me, explain their system and just to get a feel for how they explain things, what they know about it and how it fits them. It's funny because one of the things that Dan Quinn said at the combine that he would ask these quarterbacks is, tell me what your best game was and why. And then he goes, tell me what your worst game was and why. And it's not about him going back to watch that game. He can watch the tape and evaluate for himself, but he wants to hear the explanation. So that's where you get to start to learn about the guy and what kind of information that, you know, how do they, why did they have a bad game? Was it on them? Was it something they did? Are they going to blame others? You know, what made it a good game? And it could be, you know, and so I think you learn a lot from them in the way they relay that information to them. Again, Quinn doesn't go back and watch those games, but he does process the answers as to why. And the more you can find out, the better off you are. But again, the workouts are kind of second, are very secondary to the information gathering in between the throwing sessions. And, you know, I know when Baker Mayfield was at Oklahoma, one of the reasons that the Browns were attracted to him is the way teammates responded to him when he came in through, when he walked through the doors, little things like that goes a long way. That's why when, again, when people say, oh, I think they're doing this, Now, this is a think. Everybody can think they're going to do something, but to think they know would just be inaccurate, because you need to go through this process. The pro days, the pro day here, the pro day at LSU, the pro day at UNC, and then the visits to the facility. Until you get through that, you know, you may have guys that, like, I know. Listen, I talked to other coaches too. Like, there are guys that definitely like, and they definitely have thoughts on Jaden Daniels. And some of them have not scouted all of them, but what they've seen of the kid, they really like. But the point is, like, they have an idea of what it, but they're not making the decision to draft him. They're just analyzing guys that they've watched. But when you're still in it, like, it's hard to settle on a guy at this stage without the rest of the information. I mean, you can have a guy that used to, like, you know what, this is a guy I really like. Now, they're not going to tell us that at this point, but you may have a guy you really like, but you want to make sure you go through the process to either confirm what you know or what you feel, or to maybe, you know. But if you, like, again, I said this yesterday, if you went into this process and you're like, oh my God, I love Jaden Daniels, and then he doesn't do something at these pro days or does something that raised some red flags, but you're so settled on him, but you just picked up this information, how do you process it? You try to have to kind of take it slower than that, so that way you're not, you don't miss something in the process. And so that's where they are. But anyways, you already knew that. So let's go on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. The other thing is that Dan Quinn, very big on how a quarterback processes, as he should. And he said that one of the things that he likes to do as a defensive coach, and this is where, you know, all the stuff about defensive coaches know what gives them problems from a quarterback. And they know what they like to do to test a quarterback. One of the things that Quinn likes to do is change the looks at the snap. How does a quarterback process that information? When they're in college, how do they do that? How often do they see that? One of the benefits for Jaden Daniels is he faced defenses that would do some of that stuff. It gave them a read, or gives them a read on what he can do. You know, I think Drake May wasn't facing the same caliber of defenses at times, but certainly there are going to be some of that as well that you can learn. So, you know, and I think both guys, obviously Jaden has a ton of experience. Drake May not quite as much, but has good experience. So there's a lot to learn there, but the processing is very, very big. As you know, with one of the things Quinn was asked about was how important is size to you? Now, clearly Daniels is 6'3", a slender frame. May 6'4", a thicker frame. And so clearly, you know, he said that, you know, some of the measurables, hand size can matter, your shoulder rotation and flexibility matters, because just for the rotation and how you can get around, et cetera. And then also you take into account that this is, while Washington likes to think of itself as a southern city, in terms of the NFL, man, you're closer to the north with that as far as the elements you might play in later in the year. not always as bad as like New York or certainly New England or even Philly, but it's certainly not going to be as like a Miami or Tampa Bay or even Carolina. So you have, so he will take that into account. But as he said, the biggest thing is basically up here, your brain, and how the quarterback thinks the game and how his brain works is a big deal. And, you know, so I think, and I'm going to have more on this beyond today talking about these quarterbacks, because you pick up a lot of things here and talking to guys that I've known for a while. So, you know, that's something we'll get into a little bit more later. But that's some of the highlights from that. And also, like, when you're in the pocket, how do you process in the pocket? And how do you react when the pocket breaks down? Do you panic? Are you throwing the ball away? Are you trying to play, as he told me, like, are you putting your cape on and basically trying to play hero ball? And so I think there's a lot of things. And when, you know, if you run, when are you running? Are you you drop back, first read, not there, go? Well, that's not Jaden Daniels. And so, and then with Drake May, you know, there definitely is, like, as they've said, they like his athleticism, certainly has enough athleticism, enough mobility to operate in this modern, you know, the way they would want. So that's, people who think that's a knock on him are just wrong. And his arm is very, very, he has the better arm. So that's something that you look at as well. And then it's, you know, if there's a sack, and like, I even asked about analytics, how much do you use analytics? And I think they use it to a point. It is not an end all be all with them, because the film is going to tell you again, that pressure to sack ratio can be a very helpful telling stat, but you have to look at why is a guy getting sacked? And when you watch, you know, I keep going back to Daniels because I watch a lot more of him, but when you watch him getting sacked, it's not always because he's holding the ball for 3 or 4 seconds. That's just not the case. And with May, you know, how do you react? Like, there are times you see him in the pocket, he slides with good mobility and gets the ball over the middle, some good Sunday type throws. I think one of the questions that I talked to someone about with May was just the style of the offense he was in, and they changed coordinators and they felt like the system was better for him the year before than it was this year. So again, I'll explore all that down the road. You know, those are some of the things that jump out. And then the other thing too, and this is one of the things I'm going to write a little bit about for ESPN, and I'm going to talk about this more in future podcasts, but is building a strong system or building a strong support system around the quarterback. Sounds basic, right? We heard that a lot last year about, well, you got to build the roster. But I think what they've done is they're actually doing it. And it starts with, it's alleviating pressure. They're not going to sit there and have, now some quarterbacks may be ready to come in. I talked to some coaches here who would say that, like, some quarterbacks can come in and they can handle more. They can handle being put in a position where you've got to throw a little bit more than maybe another rookie might want to do it. I don't think this group's going to have whomever they, whether it's May, whether it's Daniels, and whether they trade back, get McCarthy, whatever it is, they're not going to have them drop back 70% of the time, not unless they're losing every game big in the second quarter. Because what Quinn believes in is strong run game, strong defense around them, taking the ball away, giving the offense some easier opportunities. This defense did not take the ball away well the last couple of years. Even when they had some good statistical years, they weren't taking the ball away. So that's another way you can help a young quarterback. So there are ways to do that. And the, you know, the offensive line, the Tyler Biadasz, veteran center, I think that was, and I told you this before, like, that was one of the, me, a key signing, just because you don't want to, it's much better to pair a rookie quarterback with a veteran center to help with protection, to help, and as a good run blocker. And I think Alec Greddy, a good run blocker. So that's where you start to build the run game. I think there's much more of a vision and a plan for how they want to build the support system around the quarterback. A lot of coaches that in this building have worked with them. Now, that can be really good because you have a lot of experience, but if, as long as they're not tripping over each other or telling them different things, then you're okay. But I think that's part of that ecosystem around the quarterback that can help them develop and grow. I think there's just much more of a plan for doing it. It's not a, hey, here's our theme for this year with it. It is a, this is what we see, this is how we're going to build it, and this is why. I think there's a lot of understanding of the why. It doesn't always work, but if you can understand the vision and the why here, because I think it's clear what the vision is, and I think it's clear why they're doing some things and what they believe in and how they want. Because when you bring in a young quarterback that they're going to bring in, you need to know, you have to be on page and the same page as an organization about how you're going to then handle this quarterback. And it's funny, because I remember when Dwayne Haskins was drafted, you would hear that to a man. Even the owner would say, like, hey, he can't play. We don't want to play him his first year. Don't want to play him his first year. Well, then of course it does. But they didn't build something around him to do, you know, to handle any rookie the right way. And, you know, certainly wasn't on them, trust me. But, you know, you have to build that support system to give them a chance to develop and grow and then flourish. And I think one thing, again, this group certainly believes in how they want to do things. And I'd be very surprised if it doesn't play out in September and October with what they're saying now. I'd be very surprised if it doesn't play out that way. So, you know, just another change from the past, but and another good change. So some defensive stuff, because he did talk defense too. There's a lot to talk about. I'm going to get into this over the next couple of days too. A couple highlights. Definitely wants to blitz a lot. That's one of the reasons why Jeremy Chinn was signed at safety. And somebody, he was asked about Cam Curl walks, Jeremy Chinn comes in. One thing to note, we know what Cam Curl's deal was. It's averaging like 4.5 per year, can get up to 13 or whatever it is. 13. Doesn't mean that was the offer that they could have signed him for. They were apart going into the legal tampering period, and the notion that he would ever get like 12 million, there was a belief last year that maybe it could happen. But as you got closer for ages, like there was just no way that people were talking about that. Now, if that's what his side was wanting, okay, that's fine. But it's why you can't sit there and say, oh, they could have just signed him for that. I think Curl's side wanted that way back when, I think maybe it gets done. I can't say that for sure, but I don't think you can just say he got that. Oh, they could have signed him for that. I just don't. Once the legal tampering, that thing was over. But the reason why they brought in Chinn is because they liked his ability to blitz. And one thing Dan Quinn said today, he wants to be a blitzing team and he wants to play a lot of man coverage. So there you go. There's your style here. And, you know, and he did bring up Chinn covering tight ends. That was coverage was not a strength of Chinn's in Carolina. So I'll be curious to see how that develops. He mentioned that with Jamin Davis as well, as far as like, you know, in reference to Wagner and Luvu and what role for Davis. And he talked about blitzing. And I think what they want to see, this is not a, hey, we're going to have him do this. It is a, hey, see if he can do this. So see if he can cover that. I think, you know, you might find that he can't, but I think you have to go see. And that's what OTAs are for. That's what camp is for. You see what they can do. And I think what you do is, and one thing this group is talking a lot about is see what these guys can do and then build around that. So the way you see what they can do is putting in positions to then test that. You know, we can all say like, hey, he had some issues in coverage. They need to go see it. And you can see it on film, whatever it was, but you need to still go see it and see to see why is that. And does it help having this or this? But I think Davis is probably move around and whatever, but anyway. So that's some of that. Emmanuel Forbes, he really likes his ball hawking ability. That's why he was a first round pick. And even if he wasn't a first round pick here, he'd have been at worst an early second round pick, ability to track the ball. But, and that he's, as Quinn said, that's his superpower. Quinn is huge on competition. So there is zero chance that something's going to be handed to Emmanuel Forbes. I just don't see it because they have enough guys here. He did not put good film out there last year. So he's going to have to come in and really, really compete. And it's not just, oh, new staff. It's competing. It's getting better with your technique so you can go compete. And then do you fit what they want to do? And, you know, so we'll see on that. I will say these guys are so excited about having Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louisville. And I think when you talked to him, I think I told you before that the two guys that they would mention about who they're most excited about, you would probably be Luvu and Wagner. Now, I wrote I did a breakdown of Luvu's game, just watching all his pass rushes. And it's not to diminish the Wagner signing. I think that was a really good signing. He may not be the player that he once was. That doesn't mean he's not a good player anymore. And it doesn't mean he won't be a good player for them. And he wouldn't add something for them. And I think that's where like, they know who this guy is and what he's about, but there's a little twinkle in their eye when they talk about both those guys. I think with Luvu, You know, somebody told me like they thought he was a very much an underrated signing. So there you go. But with Wagner, one of the things that, well, with Louisville, energy, there's just a ton of energy and just kind of just really getting started as far as what he can do. With Wagner, a lot of it was that, as Quinn said, he's as skilled a player as you're going to find. And one of the things that Quinn also talked about is the details he prepares with and how that can rub off on others, because that's when you have guys like that who can play at a certain level, who you like, listen, this guy probably going to the Hall of Fame, or at least you're going to be in a big time discussion with it. Right. How did he get there? It's through this detailed preparation. So that stuff rubs off. And a guy like, you know, we'll see how Davis taps into that. I could guarantee you that a guy like Louvu is going to really, really take advantage of being around a guy like that. And by the way, one of the things that Quinn said about Louvu, he's an impact hitter and we need impact hitters. So there you go. But anyway, so that's some of the wrap up. I'm going to get into more of what, you know, some more deeper discussions on some of these topics, but now I'm going to finish up with Josh Harris, because we did talk to Josh Harris. And like I said, that's a rarity of these meetings. The last time I talked to Dan Snyder at an owner's meeting was the year, it was 2017. Yes, it was 2017. They put Cousins on the tag again. And I remember bumping into him in the hallway, and he was walking with his little, you know, Bruce Allen, whomever. And I stopped him in the hallway. Hey, do you got a minute? You know, wanted to ask him about Cousins, because there was nothing scheduled to talk to Dan. He, as you know, he didn't talk to the media a lot, but I took a shot. And he stopped, and I thought he was actually going to talk, because I was like, want to ask about Kirk Cousins. And then he, but he's like, you know, I don't want to talk to you and not talk to the others. So he didn't talk to anybody, but he did walk away saying, we're going to keep him. And I mean, there was optimism. He was optimistic they were going to sign him. It was completely unfounded because they were so far apart. But that's the last time I talked to him in an owner's meeting. And that was it. So to talk to Harris today was refreshing, to have an owner that can speak on topics and is not afraid to deal to address questions. And basically you guys get an update on the team and things going on through the owner. And what happens is too, when too often in the past, you'd have situations where guys were traveling out of their lane. And so messages would be just botched. You know, they would go and sign Reuben Foster or claim Reuben Foster and do things. Bruce Allen needs to come out and talk about that, because that's your decision. They would send Doug Williams out there. Doug's a great guy, but you need to hear from Bruce Allen. And so sometimes the messages gets like, maybe it gets lost, or it gets, you know, not said as well, or whatever. And, you know, the owner needs to come out and say something about this topic. And you have a situation now where this is what it is, right? You know, Dan Quinn knows what Adam Peters' role is. Adam Peters knows what his role is, and he knows what, and Josh Harris knows what he needs to talk about. Josh Harris isn't going to talk about, oh, we need to get this player and that player. He'll talk about the process. He'll talk about, you know, he liked what they've done. You know, I asked him about sitting in on the meetings at the combine and how educational it was for him. And he said it was very educational. He hadn't been part of the process. He wanted to go through it and he learned. So, you know, that's the stuff, that's his lane. And he knows that he said the quarterback can have a big impact. We all know that. But he's, you know, he talked about the stadium. He was asked about the stadium site, where that's at. Nothing really has changed since I last talked about this on here. There with the RFK stuff, it's now we're still waiting. You know, it's got to go past Congress, still get through Congress. And then you have the monumental situation in Virginia. And with Ted Leonsis, got to see what happens there. And he did say they are in deep discussions with Maryland. So he was asked, well, what does that mean? And he kind of was a little bit more vague after that. But what I do know is if Leonsis doesn't go to Virginia, which clearly doesn't look like it's happening now, what's Virginia's appetite to lure a team over here? Doesn't seem to be too huge. So then with the district, what happens there? Because you have the Wizards and the Caps. Are they going back there? What happens then with the Commanders? But I would be surprised if the Commanders struck a deal with another location before knowing exactly what would happen in the district. I'd be surprised by that. So I think that's why this could take another year. So they want to see what happens with the bill to give the land, to lease land back to the district? What happens with the Wizards and the Caps? What is the district willing to do to work with them if it goes gets to that point? So, you know, I think that's what they're going to wait and see. And I think they understand that what it would mean to the fan base to be down there. And I think they, listen, they're from this area. They know what it would mean to them. So I think you want, I think they're going to try and exhaust that possibility before really, and I think they'll talk to all the locations. They're not going to shut everybody out to just do this, but you're going to keep things open until you know for sure what is or isn't possible in the district. So the other thing he talked about too is the player survey. He said, I'm not an F minus guy. They're working on things like that. I don't know how much you can improve that facility. There are things you can certainly improve inside. And I think they're getting new carpet installed there. I think they're trying to improve the locker room a little bit, make it better for the players. I know the food, the cafeteria got like a lower grade. There's nothing to do with the food, man. The food there is good. But it was as much that I think there's some either maybe just like some of the comfort levels of that. It's a converted basketball gym. That's where the cafeteria is. It used to be the basketball gym. It used to be where the racquetball courts were, where Dan and Vinny would play. And, you know, instead of doing their jobs, you know, so anyway, that's some of what he was. And he talked about the practice facility. And I think that's one where they don't, and I've told you before, like, they don't have to be in the same location. And I think it wouldn't shock me at all. In fact, if I had to guess right now, I think the practice facility stays in Virginia and the stadium is elsewhere. And right now it looks like you'd say, okay, Maryland certainly looks like the one because there's too many unanswered questions in the district and in Virginia, but all speculation, a long, 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 long way to go in that. And there've been some twists and turns in the last year, folks. So get ready for some more. Anyway, that's it from me from Orlando. Thanks for tuning in. I will be back on Thursday with another episode. Talk to you next time.